Recording. Guys, what's up? It's Kate. This is Date Fails. Oh my God. Guys, it's been a long time. I haven't put a podcast out in 2 weeks. I have been on podcast hiatus. That's what I'm calling it. I want to explain why. It's really hard to explain. So I'm going to do my best. Basically, a couple things. One, I have my friend Aiden Park here, who's a comedian slash actor, who you know, because he was on recently. Aiden, you can say hi. You're allowed, to talk into the mic. He's eating pizza. If you hear chewing, he's having dinner. So I basically called my friend Aiden and I was like, oh my God, I have to do a podcast. I've recorded two that I haven't posted, by the way, because after I listened back to him, I'm like, I just sound so like miserable. I've been struggling. I'm going to be real. I've been struggling. I'm so uncomfortable. Look how uncomfortable I get talking.
You got this. Just keep going.
So basically, the gist of it is this podcast, Date Fails, I love it. It's great, and it's been a great avenue for me to share my life with my followers and also engage with you guys. But at the same time, sometimes it's caused me some strife in my personal life because when I'm dating someone that I like, I'm scared to talk about them on the podcast. So then I try to come up with ways around it. And then when something ends, I get really depressed. And then I'm like, I don't want to go on a podcast and tell everybody how miserable I've been. And I've been dealing with a lot lately. And I just felt overwhelmed. Like, I was producing the Hollywood Pool Party show for All Things Comedy, which is a lot of work. And also putting together a show pitch, which people don't know about, for a TV show that I'm trying to sell, and then the headlining dates, and then there's just a lot. This is not a complaint. This is champagne problems. Like, I'm very fortunate. But basically, the point is, I just got to a point where I was like, I can't right now talk about what's going on in my love life because there's been some, I would say this has been a pretty epic date fail.
It was pretty epic.
It's so embarrassing. I almost don't want to I have to talk about it because that's what the podcast is, but
that's what they want to hear, right?
All right. Okay.
I mean, do you,
I have to.
Now that you've said, not do it.
All right, guys. So here's the deal. I had a date fail. That was so intense that I was like, how do I share this with the people? And I don't want to call this person out by name. So I'll try to tell you guys what happened, basically, over the last 2 weeks. People will relate to this because everyone has had it. So there is a guy who I met. I am a fan of his work. He is in like an indie rock band that you guys have never heard of, but I love. Like, and we need to give him a name so we can call him something for the purpose of the podcast, just to talk about him.
Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart.
Rod, so we'll call him Rod Stewart.
Not that he looks
He's not at all like Rod Stewart.
He's nothing like Rod Stewart.
But he, you know.
But he, okay, Rod Stewart's a fine name.
Rod Stewart's probably more famous than this guy.
Well, I would say Rod Stewart's more famous than
most people.
Most musicians or people in general.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm a huge Rod Stewart fan. Well, I wouldn't say huge fan of Rod. I like, you know, maybe one of his albums or two of his albums. But
funnily, I actually, when she mentioned this person, I knew this Rod, and I have been tortured by Rod for years.
Wait a second. Now, before you go into this, hold on, because I have to tell them how this happened.
Okay, yes, please do.
Okay, so basically, I met this person, Rod, who I've spoken to just a few times over the years, and we decided to hang out, and we hit it off, like, immediately. It was like one of those perfect first dates where you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, we get along so well. Like, how have we not been hanging out for years? Like, we talked for like 12 hours and we just had the best night ever. No sex, hanging out.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, we did not have sex for like the first couple nights.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was like, I like this person and I don't want it to be all about sex. And also, I didn't want
him. You had sex eventually, though, right?
Yeah, we did. But I didn't want him to think either that it was like I was fangirling on him, because I really only know some of his stuff. And also, I just genuinely, once I met him, he was so different than I thought he would be that it took away.
Well, he wasn't all emo and depressed like all of his music. I have a problem with Rod people.
Okay.
And I'll explain that later, but
you
go on, please.
You can talk about, okay, well, yeah, you got to wait. You got to wait. Well,
yeah, you got to tell the story.
So, all right, yeah. So I hang out there. We spend this whole night talking, and like, it was just, this guy said things to me that I needed to hear for the last 5 years. Like, basically since my divorce. Like, every guy that I date on some level sees me as the person on Instagram and can't get it out of their head. Like, even if they get to know me and they know I'm not that person, but still somewhere in their mind, they're like waiting for that freak flag to fly, or waiting. I don't know what they think I'm going to do porn at some point, or that I'm not girlfriend material, or what it is in the back of their head. But this guy was like, the reason I met him is because he sent me a photo that I posted of myself that I looked like total shit in. And he was like, this is the most beautiful photo you've ever posted.
I think it was all part of a manipulative tactic.
You really do?
Oh, absolutely.
You think he sent me that one just to be like, oh, she'll totally be in love
yeah,
with me because of this?
I do. Because this person writes indie music, right? And indie music people, okay, it's all about their, it's not about melodies or anything. It's just about their messed upness and their internal problems. So basically what they do is, Rod packages himself. That's what he does, honey. He packages himself to make money, you know, putting out these things that are going to reach these girls who need to hear what they need to hear. So, of course, he's going to know exactly what to say that's what he does for a living.
Okay, fine. You might be right about that. You're right. And it totally worked on me because he was like, this, I see so much depth in this photo. Like, I see you, like, not the person. Like, there's more to you than what I'm seeing here online. Like, you seem like that girl from Ohio, like that's a girl I want to know, whatever, right? It totally just made me like, oh my God, someone that like sees my soul, like I have to hang out with this person. So then this is actually going to feed right into your theory of him, because then we tried to get together a few times, and every time we would like make a plan to hang, he would kind of not ghost, but he would like, we wouldn't make a firm plan. We'd be like, let's try to hang tomorrow. And then like the time would come and I'd be like, well, so what's up? What are you thinking? And he'd be like, I don't know. And then he would just kind of stop answering. And then,
oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah. So then I just assumed that he was like a fuckboy and that he just, this is what he does with girls. He's just one of those guys that wants a little attention, but isn't really trying to hang. Right. And after a few times of that, I was like, all right, I'm over it. I'm not going to try to kick it with this guy. And I basically told him, I just said, listen, I said, I don't know kind of what your deal is. It's no big deal if you don't want to hang. If you think I'm trying to like be a groupie or just hook up with you or something, like that's not how I am. I just said, I just thought we seemed like we had things in common from what we talked about and it would be cool to get to know each other, but it's no big deal either way. I kind of just let the ball drop, right? And then he was like, well, this way he said it totally worked on me. He said, the real reason that I keep on kind of flaking out is because you're really like bubbly and happy and free spirited. And you seem like someone that is always like on and posting Instagram stories. And he was like, I am just going through kind of a rough time right now. And I am nervous that I'm going to be like a bummer for you or bore you or like that I'm going to bring down your mood. And I'm also really private. And when he said the words really private, a little red flag went off in my brain, because that last guy that I dated for so long that ended up having a girlfriend was like, I'm really private.
And yeah. Yeah.
Private means married to me now, or like involved. Like, no one is private.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you're pretty public.
I mean, yeah, but not with my love life. I never post guys I date on my stuff.
You know what? I guess you don't.
Never.
No.
And I said that to him. I go, look at my Instagram for a boyfriend. There's never a date. There's never a boyfriend. And he was like, I did notice that. So then I said, listen, truth be told, I've been going through a rough time lately. I feel lonely. I feel like kind of at a plateau career-wise. I feel like I've lost a lot of friends in the last year. And I said, this could be just the kind of friendship that you need right now and I need right now, is someone that kind of can talk about it. And he was like, all right, yeah, that sounds amazing. Okay, cool. If you're okay with meeting up this late. And I said, well, just so you know, it's not like a booty call, because it was late. It was like 12:30.
Wow.
Yeah, but I was like, but he's a musician and I'm a comedian, so these are our hours. It'd be like dating a bartender. Like, you kind of hang out when you get off work.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So I said, yeah, as long as you're, you know, it's not like a booty call, we can meet at an after hour spot or I can come over. And he was like, you can come over. So I go to his house. The minute I walk in, you know, when you meet someone, you feel like you've met them in a past life or something. It was just like, and it's not because I know his music. It was weird. It was like seeing him. It seemed like I was meeting someone else. Like, his real life persona was so different from what I expected.
Really? What was your impression of his real life persona, though? Like, or his, like, other persona? What was your impression of him?
Well, I'm afraid to give too much away, but let's just say it like this. Like, if I was going to meet Axl Rose, I would expect, like, rock and roll, like, high energy party. Like, this guy, I guess I kind of expected, like, a little punk, like, I don't know, like a
that's what you expected?
Rock and roll vibe.
I have such a different expectation. Like, I just would expect something completely different from this
what
person.
What would you expect?
Oh.
No one knows who we're talking about, so it's really weird for you to say.
Artwork that costs too much on his wall. Kinda, like, I have a problem. It's not personal. It's not about... I've had a problem with this guy way before Kate, just so everybody knows. And I'll, like, go into why, but, you know, like, emo, dirty t-shirt, barely passed the sniff test, messy hair, answers the door like, hey, what's up, come on. Like, kind of depressed, eyes half closed, dirty coffee mugs on the coffee table. That's what I would expect.
It was so not like that at all.
It was not.
No.
What was he like?
Messy hair, but that's hot to me. I like messy hair, okay? But... No, he's not like that at all.
Really?
He's like kind of nerdy and like very clean. Like, his place is the cleanest place I've ever seen. Everything
wow.
in his place, very OCD, like very perfect, meticulous, great place. And
oh, wow. Okay. I'm wrong.
Yeah. Oh. And but that's the thing. It's okay because we both expected. That's yeah. what I'm saying, though. It's
but
like,
we both expected different things, right?
Yeah.
But we were both wrong.
Right. But what the thing is the moment I met him, like, I forgot who he was.
Yeah.
Like, it was like meeting someone completely a stranger, right? But it also felt like a stranger that, like, I was supposed to meet. I don't know how to explain it. By the way, I was sober. Like, this was just like, I felt like this crazy connection, and not in like a sexual way, not in like a I want to touch you way. Like, I've met guys before, like, where I've said this, that the chemistry between us was so strong that, like, sitting across the room from them, like, I could almost feel them. It wasn't that. It was like a friendship feeling. It's weird. Felt like we were family or something. It's bizarre. But not like
wow,
gross, like pervy family. Like just so, okay.
Not that kind of date fail.
No. So I go in and, you know, we just start talking and we talk for like 12 hours. Okay. I mean, we talk to like 11 a.m. the next day. Just talk the whole fucking night. Like, we kissed once or twice. But that was it. That was all the sexual contact, right? And then he had watched all my work and, like, was talking about, like, I realized how much he'd, like, been looking me up before we met up. And so it was just, it was cool because it was like, he's not a comic, but he understands the business and comedy. And it was like just a connection that I haven't had with anybody. And
well, so, I think anybody would fall for that kind of, I think that's, I mean, you know, right? Like,
yeah, of course.
I know, like, you said, like, you kind of like are upset with yourself for falling for this guy, but like, or whatever.
I'm upset that I let it happen so fast. So then after that, I left at like 11 the next morning or whatever time, you know, still like awake. I was in such a good mood and I left. Oh, and the other thing he was doing that was, like, so adorable is, like, every time he'd go to the bathroom or something or go upstairs to another room, he'd send me, like, a really sweet message. Like, he just did the sweetest shit that just girls love. Just everything was, like, so perfect,
that's
you know?
That's his business, right?
Yeah, well, I guess.
Maybe I'm being a little hard on him. Maybe.
Maybe it is his business. I guess I don't see... See, to me, that's like boy band people, not like actual musicians. This guy's like a legit talented musician. I know you don't think so.
It's beside the point. Okay, so...
Okay,
yes.
So I leave. Fast forward to... Before I even leave, he's like, can I see you again tonight? I mean, you're just so amazing. I've never met anyone like you. Like, it's crazy that you're this beautiful, but this cool and down to earth. And like, you're so different from what I expected. And just like, whatever. So basically, the gist of what happened is, over the course of the next like 4 or 5 days, I saw him like every day. We spent like so much time together. And everything he was doing, I mean, was like, he told me he was in love with me. I've never felt like this before. I'm so in love with you. Like, I really want to date you. Like, I don't want you to date other people. Like, he told like his friends already, I met this girl. She's so amazing. I've written more in the last 2 days since I met you than I have in 2 months. And like, he wrote me a song, and he like, oh. And then also, he bought me a really cool personal gift. Like, not something that like is... not something that's like a diamond or something fancy, but like, he basically, like, he knows I'm from Ohio. So he bought me like this vintage t-shirt of this band that he said is like the best band ever from Ohio that no one's ever heard of. Like, shit like that, that you're like, wow, this guy's like really into me. So I bought into all of it, like, so hard. And I was like telling my friends even, like, I think this guy is like going to be around for a while. Like, I think you're gonna meet him. Like, I think it's gonna be like a relationship. And then I'm trying to figure out how to say this without incriminating. I mean, the gist of it is, then one night, after, it was like the fourth night, and you have to understand something too about this that I'm not saying, and I'm not saying this guy is a jerk for doing this, but I basically, like, as soon as after a night together, this guy started telling me, I think I'm in love with you. I know it sounds crazy, it's too soon, but I just feel it. And he was saying things like, when you have feelings, time doesn't matter. And when you meet someone that, like, could be your soulmate, like, you just don't think about time. And so...
poetry.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And I was just like, I guess it makes sense. And I was like, but you got to understand, I don't move that fast. Like, I've been really lied to and hurt by a lot of people, and I have some trust issues. And like, please stop. Don't tell me you're in love with me. I'm not ready to say it back. It's been a day. Like, we need to slow it down. And he was like, I am the guy that came into your life to prove to you that love can be real, and like, that you can trust in it again. And like, I think I came into your life for a reason. Like, you need me and I need you. And like, everything he was saying, I was like, oh my God, this is like the stuff that girls dream about. And also, like, he kind of had everything that my ex-husband had that I liked, but also with like the sex drive of a guy. Like, he was like, definitely, like, he kept telling me like how, you know, hot I was and like how all that, like, there was sex talk. We just hadn't hooked up. Right. So we end up spending a few more nights together, and some nights there's other people there, like other friends of his, whatever, but he was like being really affectionate with me in front of them, all the shit girls love. Then we took a bath together this one night, which was like, I mean, I still was like, we're not having sex, but we can like get in the bathtub. So that was great. So we took a bath together, I stayed, and the thing is, I fell asleep. I never can sleep with guys, like, for a long time. And I fell asleep so hard with him. And then the next day he said to me, like, when I put my hand on you, like, I felt your whole body relax. Like, you just, like, really trust me. It was like everything he said was like so perfect, right? And then we end up like that morning having sex for the first time. And it was good, but it wasn't amazing. So like, the thing that was crazy is I was like, oh my God, it's not like the sex part of this I'm hooked on. Like, it's the emotional stuff.
Right.
And then I left again. And then I think I did a show that night. And then the next time I went over there, shit started to spiral out a little bit. So I came over there and he was acting a little out of it. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I didn't know if he had been drinking or doing some drugs maybe, or what was up. But he was like, so glad I came. He was like, oh my God, I needed to see you. I'm having the worst day ever. Can I just hold you? And he was like kind of half asleep, like almost in a daze. I was like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I had really bad anxiety. I took some stuff for it. And he wasn't himself. And he was being way more sexually aggressive with me than he had the other times. Like, I just want to touch you. Can I just touch you? And it turned me on because I love aggressive guys. And then also, like, I love saving guys. So here's this guy that seems like he's upset or out of it. And then he's being sexually aggressive. I'm like, oh. Yeah. And then we end up fucking. And it's, like, good. Better than I expected. It's, like, great. And then what happened is, this is hard for me to say. Like, you know, guys say that after they come, there's a moment when they, like, realize, like, there's clarity, right? Like, guys say when they come, there's a moment of clarity. Well, the first time we hooked up, he didn't come. I forgot. So he'd been drinking a little, and I think he couldn't. So this time, after he came, I could tell there was, like, a shift. I felt it. I fucking felt it in my heart, everything. I just felt it. And because all the other times he, like, wanted me to stay. And this time I could tell he wanted me to leave after. He just kind of was like, I really need to get a good night's sleep. I have some personal stuff going on. I just found out a friend of mine passed away. And he's like, I really needed that.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
I'm so mean to him. I'm sorry.
No.
But, you know.
It's okay, because now that I'm saying it out loud, it sounds so bad. And then, like, he went upstairs to shower. And I was waiting for an Uber. And I started crying. I knew. Aiden, I fucking knew in that moment that, like, something had changed, and he was just immediately distant, and I just knew, like, this is going to be the last time I see him. I don't know how. And so I went up and I knocked on his door, and he was like, hey, I'm in the shower. And I was like, I feel like something's wrong. Like, I feel like I'm not going to see you again. And he's like, of course you are. He was like, I just found out some really emotional, like, I don't want to say what it is because it might give away who it is, but, like, he just found out, like, someone passed away very close to him, and he was emotional. So I was like, okay, I'll go. I'll talk to you soon. But I knew, and I left. And he called me later, a couple hours later. He called me, and he basically explained that he was like, I'm going through a lot of things in my life right now that I didn't tell you about, that I've been really struggling with business-wise, personal, my last relationship. I don't really feel like I got closure on it. Now this person passed away. And he basically was like, I need to go get therapy. I need to get help. I need to get healthy. I'm not taking care of myself. I don't know what he was doing, but I have a hunch that he was probably doing more drugs than what I knew about. And he basically was like, I need space right now to get well. This is, like, the night I fucked him. He's telling me this. And I'm like, what do you mean you want space? Like, a couple days? Or are you telling me we can't see each other? And he was like, I don't know right now. And I was like, you realize that last night you asked me to be exclusive with you and told me, like, you've never felt this way. And whatever you're going through, I'm the kind of person that would be there for you and support you. And he was like, I can't right now. Like, I need to deal. I think whatever happened, I think it has something to do with his ex. I think that he's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he wants to get back with his ex, or I don't know. But that happened. And I feel like a crazy person because it was only like, four, what, 5 days? 5 days or however long it was that we were hanging out. But I feel like I got my heart broken, even though it was only a few days, because just everything that he said made me like, oh my God, this is what I've been needing. And it also made me beat myself up because I was like, how could you be so stupid to fucking, like, fall for this shit so fast and, like, let yourself get in that deep that quickly to where it hurts this much to lose this person.
Yeah.
And of course I have, like, the stuff he gave me is here, and he gave me some other stuff too, and, like, it's just, like, really fucking, like, bizarre. Oh, and then the worst part of the whole thing is that he then he changed his number, which I have never had a guy like in my life, like kind of ghost on me. And he didn't completely ghost, but he changed his number. And he said like, look, I'm trying to start my life over and get healthy, which I respect, by the way, 100%. I just feel so like everything he said to me was lies, or he was high, or I have no idea what happened that made him snap like that and change. But he changed his number, and then like he'll hit me up like when he feels like it from the old number, but like I don't have the new number. And this is not someone that I like follow on social media. We don't follow each other, so it's not like we're DMing back and forth. So it's just it hit me like a fucking, I don't know. I think it hit me harder than almost any relationship, only because after the last one, I did so much work on myself. I took time off dating. I like got healthy. I was sober for a while. I was like really doing like self work. And then to be able to slip back so far, so fast, to where I felt like I was spinning out of control, wanting to reach this person. And then he's making me feel crazy because he's like, Kate, we only spent, you know, it was a week. Like, it's not like we, it's not like we weren't together forever. It's not like we were even like in a, he goes, I know it happened fast, but you're acting like we were engaged and I ended it. Like, he's making me feel crazy. And then when he changed his number, the fact that he didn't give me his new one made me feel like he thinks I'm like a psycho because I caught feelings so quick. But then I'm like, you basically
set it up to that way. Yeah,
you brainwashed me. I felt like I went into a cult environment. So the point is, I was flying home from Texas and I was super depressed because the whole time I was in Texas, he wouldn't talk to me. This happened just before I went to Texas and he wouldn't talk to me. And then he called once and I missed it. And then he like turned that phone back off. So it was just like a little, and I was so depressed and I was so angry because I'm like, I would be there for you even as a friend, but you just cut me off. Like even if we didn't date and we decided to try to be friends, I would be open, but it was so hard. And then I started texting with Aiden while I was on the flight, telling him what happened. And when I said the name of this person, Rod Stewart, Aiden fucking, you're the first person that made me laugh in 3 days, because I was going on stage and doing my sets and my sets were going great. And then I'd come off and just be miserable, like so depressed. And then you, when I said who it was, I almost want to read your text. You were like, that guy, fuck that. I hate that guy.
I have a problem with that guy.
Now you can talk about why.
Basically, from the outside perspective, it seems like he set it up so that you would catch feelings for him. And then he's kind of saying like, you're a chess piece. Like he'll put you wherever he wants to put you. And he doesn't have any regard for you. And this is the problem with people who make this kind of music. Okay, like, I have a problem with this. Okay, Rod Stewart is an indie artist. And I was driven crazy by my ex-boyfriend, who's a really nice guy. But, you know, he's also kind of emo, right? So he would play me this his music all the time. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, you know, an hour had gone by and I was like, is this still the same song? Because like all these songs sound the same to me. I'm sorry.
They do not all sound the same.
To me, it does.
He's so talented. Like he's really talented.
But the problem is, okay, so you listen to it and it's all like, I have a problem. I have a problem with this because it's all like, you know, like my feelings and you feel so alone, which is fine. You get people to relate to you in that way. But if you're like that, if you're people who do that a lot, this is what they do. What they do is they use those, my inner turmoil feelings as an excuse not to do what is responsible, not to do what is kind, not to do the right thing. He didn't do the right thing by you.
No.
Right?
No.
So I feel like, and then using that, he's doing it right now. I have to go and take care of myself and get healthy and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and I'm going to treat you like crap because you're just somebody who doesn't matter, who was in my life for 5 days. It doesn't matter what I got you. It doesn't matter what I bought you. It fires me up so much that people can do that and totally abdicate responsibility. People do this all the time. Get over it. Look, my boyfriend died 3 months ago, okay? I don't do that to people. So get the fuck over it.
Oh my
I'm
God,
so pissed. I'm so angry.
Aiden's so mad.
I'm mad.
I mean,
and this is indicative of people like that. Like, I'm an indie artist, so I have a lot of inner turmoil. Get over it. We still have bills to, like, you know, you have this girl who cares about you and you're going to treat her badly. Like, it makes me mad. And it's not just because it's you, Kate. It's not just because I love you. And you know I love you.
I love you too.
But you know me, like, we've had conversations where I haven't agreed with, you know, whatever, and I'll tell you. But, like, this is bad.
Well, I mean, my thing is, it's like, you can't fault someone for wanting to get healthy and get work.
You need to do it responsibly and take responsibility for what, it's like, I'm a crazy person, so I'm going to set this house on fire. Oh, I'm going to go and check into the loony bin. You deal with the burnt house. You deal with the insurance that has to be paid.
Yeah, that is kind of what happened. And the thing is that's really pissing me off, to be honest, is because I went through all the stages. Like, I seriously got so mad at first. And that's what I was telling you earlier, is my one thing that I'm trying to work on for myself is when I feel like a guy has really wronged me, because I'm a really sweet, vulnerable person. And if I care about you, once I care, I will fucking do anything for you. And once I trust you and let you in, like, if you hurt me, I almost feel like it's doubly worse of hurting someone who's really good at being a bitch, because I am really compassionate and I'm like an empath. So even with this guy, like, at first I went fucking off. Like, I was fucking livid. I was like, you are exactly like every other guy. Like, you manipulated me. Like, I go, you set me back so much further with my trust issues because you convinced me that I could trust you and then pulled the rug out. And, like, I went off, right? And he was like, you're not hearing me. I'm not okay. I'm not okay.
And that's not your problem. He set it up so that he could use you for his comfort for those days, make you feel whatever you wanted to feel, bought you all these t-shirts, sent you all the right messages, and then he's going to turn around and say, I am not well. No, you don't get to say you're not well and escape all doing the right thing. I think that's what is...
That's what's making me mad too. And then I said to him, you haven't even apologized. Like, all you keep saying is you. What about me? You left me out here to dry with, like, feelings. And then he finally called and he did apologize. But I think the only reason he really apologized is because he's afraid of me doing what I'm doing.
Wasn't the apology more like, I know you were triggered, so I'm sorry that you were triggered? It was like that kind of apology, right?
He basically just keeps saying, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. I was in a really bad place. You know, I know he was on drugs. I know, like, he's like, I wasn't myself, but I meant no harm. He keeps saying, I only want peace. And I'm like, but what's not fair is you're not fucking, like, you can't just say I was on drugs and walk away and change your number and that's the end of it. Like,
you don't get to play the innocent lamb here. Like, that's not what happened. And we all see it, you know?
Yeah, and then he kept saying, you're scaring me because you're not acknowledging what I'm dealing with. Like, you have no compassion. He said I was scaring him, and I'm like, I have so much compassion. I'm offering to help you through this time and be, like, there for you. And that's the thing that, like, that's the thing that made it so hard, is just everything he fucking said. I mean, he gave me, like, the code to his house. I mean, like, he was like, I have your back. I'm here for you. And then just, I guess it was just all fake. And that's what I've been struggling with, is just, it felt so fucking real. Like, that connection didn't feel like it could be fake. And, like, how someone can do so many kind things for you in such a short time and then just, It was nothing. But anyway, so what I did do that I regret is I blew up his phone, which is a bad habit of mine. When a guy hurts me, I just...
That's all on you.
That is on me. And my problem is, it's because I overthink. like I send the text and then I think, what if he takes it wrong? And then I'll send another text. And before I know it, I'm like, oh my God, I sent so many. I mean, I talk about it on stage, but that's why I like to call people or talk face to face. But ever since the day that I left, he's always, I'm in therapy. I'm with this person. I'm with that person. I'm with my counselor. I'm with my, and so like, he's never available to talk, you know? So I mean, I'm like 99% sure he's probably back with his ex. And if he would just tell me that, that would really help me out. But he never will. So, but I'm trying to work on not burning bridges anymore in this town with anyone. So I sent him a nice compassionate message of like, I know you didn't mean to hurt me. You did. But I get that you're trying to get well. And I'm bothered that you have me in your phone full of psychos instead of your new phone. But whatever you need to do, I guess that's that. And he sent me a message back like, I needed that kindness. Thank you. I'm doing.
What about what he needs?
I know.
I don't know. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so, first of all.
Now that I'm saying it out loud, I sound even more pathetic. Like, this is the most embarrassing episode of this podcast.
You're not pathetic because this man, Kate, I'm so sorry this happened to you. And I think everybody will understand this man does this professionally. That is how he makes money. Getting girl, his audience is mostly gonna be women.
I don't think it is. I think it's like half and half. But you know what? The thing about him is he isn't that guy. That is the one thing I will say. He's not a guy that fucks a bunch of women. I know he's. We talk.
But honey, he sold you that image to make you fall in love with him. But look at what happened.
Yeah. So maybe it's all lies.
You know.
You think it's all lies.
I think there's a chance
I'm
that
so
it could
mad.
Be.
I'm so mad.
Good, because you should be mad rather than feeling like you're an idiot, because this man does this professionally. Guaranteed, you're not the only one. I guarantee you put this podcast up, there's going to be like girls who are like, hey, I remember. I think I know who you're talking about.
I hope not, because I don't want to deal with that again. So,
well.
But whatever. So the point is, I had to share with you guys two things. One, that this shit happened, and that I apologize that I took a break from this podcast for a minute, but I needed a minute to deal. And two, that all of this happening also made me realize something, which is how much I overthink. And I think I'm going to start a new podcast. Like, I'm going to keep doing date fails, but I think I'm going to start a podcast called Overthinking, where I talk about whatever's going on in life, so that when I'm having moments where I'm like, there's not funny date fails to share, I can still put something up for you guys. And not always, it doesn't always have to be like me digging into my fucking heart. Because that's the thing is, you know, when you're freshly wounded, it's hard to even talk to your friends, let alone put it on a podcast. But I do think it's important to share, because I know there are people that have been through this. And but I still don't think this guy is a terrible person. I think he's a damaged fucking person that needs some help.
That's the narrative. When you're damaged, you don't have to take responsibility for your life. That's the society we live in. I didn't have a mom or dad. Okay, so you get to do whatever you want. You don't have to pay bills. Let grandma pay all your bills until you're 45.
I mean, you're right.
It's absolutely correct.
You're right. There's no excuse for that.
I'm sorry. He's not missing an arm, okay? he's not handicapped. He's a wealthy man, a successful man, okay? And he should be wiser than this. And people are letting him off the hook because he's got, quote, problems. That's what this society is nowadays.
You're right.
We can't just let people off the hook. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I'm not dealing with it. That's not going to happen in my life. So
what do I do?
Drop him. Well, act like he's dead. That's it. You're done.
He's dead.
Done. He's dead.
I can never listen to his music.
Because he's never... You don't need to listen. Because it's bullshit. You don't need to listen to it. And here's the other thing, too. No, here's the... Really. Like, okay, so he's dead to you because you deserve a man who is going to step up to the plate and do things and take care of you and do things that are difficult, even if it's hard for him, and not run the other direction as soon as he faces conflict and go, I'm a victim of whatever mental problems I have.
You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because when I'm going through shit, I still care about,
you know,
people.
You deserve a guy like that, not this guy. Pussy. And I'm, you know, and I will use this till the, you know, my boyfriend died 3 months ago. Hello.
Yeah, I almost want to read. Hold on. I have to pause this and read the, you guys are going to laugh because he's not even saying it. I have to read you the text that he sent me about this on the airplane. Hold on. Okay, wait. I found the text. So I'm on this airplane and I'm so depressed and I'm texting Aiden about it and I hadn't told him who it was yet. And when I said who it was, he's like, oh my God, I fucking hate that guy. I'm so glad you're not with him. I would have skipped your wedding. And then he said, oh my God, wait. I said, you're making me laugh. And then he said, listen, this is what he sells people. He sells people that he is the sensitive guy who is internally damaged but will not take responsibility for himself at the end of the day. I hate emo people, and I hate hipster musicians, and I hate hipsters. Fuck them if they think it's okay to not follow through with what they're supposed to do. Fuck them because they don't have a mom or dad. Go fuck yourself. It made me laugh so hard.
It's so true, though.
You're a little overly angry. They're not all hipsters.
Not all hipsters are like that. It's just the culture of feeling like there's this culture of, I've got problems and it's a cool thing. And you get to act like a 10-year-old because you've got problems.
You're right.
No.
You're right.
You
give the best advice. And then Aiden sent me the text. He's like, I just lost my husband. I'm a gay man who grew up in a Christian family. And
I wasn't. I was raised in a senior home with my grandma. She was my only person. She didn't even speak English. I had to live like Anne Frank for 10 years in inner city, you know, like government home.
And you're very happy and well-adjusted, I would say.
You know what? If you take responsibility for your life... Look, listen. Everybody goes through difficult times. I understand. I do. But, like, I see you get, like, two or three of those, You get two or three of those. I get it. But, you know, I feel like sometimes, and maybe this is me being incorrect, the hipster culture, the emo culture glorifies this... feel like it's cool to be like, oh, internally turmoil. And so then it makes it okay for you to not take responsibility and do the right thing. And that's what people should be focusing on. Doing the right thing, even though it's hard. Not, problem.
You're right. All right.
I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. And this guy, to me, when I listen to his music, represents that. And it does not surprise me in the least bit that he used you like a freaking chess piece. He gave you what you needed to hear. He does this for a living. He sold you this romantic shirt. Sold you this book. And then turns around. And when he's done with you, he's going to say, I have problems, and just drop you. It's just so messed up.
It is messed up.
And it's not okay.
It's not okay. Well, sorry, Rod Stewart.
I'm sorry, Kate. I feel very passionate about this.
I feel really bad that we named him Rod Stewart, because now, like, people are going to think that Rod Stewart is a giant.
Rod Stewart is a great guy.
I love Rod Stewart. I would fuck Rod Stewart. I'm just kidding. I really wouldn't. All right. Well, shit. So that was a long rant about what happened to me, but I needed you guys to hear it. And I'm really glad that we talked. And if you can relate to this, feel free to message me at datefailspod@gmail.com. I'm okay. I love you. I was going to do like some funny Q&A shit at the end of this podcast just to keep it from being totally down. Do you want to answer a few fan questions?
Do we have any fan questions?
Yeah, great. I have some. All right.
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to do a few questions. So that was a very dramatic date fails, but I had to get it out. I actually feel better for sharing.
We
had to pause for a moment because I was upset, but... You know, it's easy to feel stupid and duped in this scenario, but any girl that a guy wrote a song for or, you know, bought a present for or said I love you to would feel emotional.
Yeah.
But I'm over it. I'm getting over it. I'm angry, but I'm moving through it. It's going to be fine.
You're doing great, Kate.
All right, let's answer some questions. You guys sent me like a billion questions on Instagram, so we're just going to answer like five of these. You ready, Aiden?
Okay.
All right. Is not eating ass a reason to be broken up with? I say yes.
It depends on the person. If the person likes getting their ass eaten, then they should not be with somebody who doesn't eat ass.
Yeah. Or, I mean, if you love someone, you eat their ass if they want it. Isn't that the rule?
No.
If you love someone, set them free and eat their ass.
So I'm gay. I'm a bottom. So I need to be with a top.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So
you're always a bottom?
Yes. I don't switch. And I know that about myself.
Okay.
So I need to find a top. And if you're not into it, then I'm not going to be with you. That's it.
Yeah.
So you need that sexual compatibility to move forward. So if eating ass is important to you, then you should never be with a guy who doesn't eat ass.
Interesting. All right. I like that. I agree, I guess. But don't you think that, like, what if a guy is like, well, I don't eat ass, but I would try it?
See, for me personally, date somebody who's going to be like, oh, I don't top, but I'll try it, that means he's not, like, 100% dedicated. I don't have time for you. I need to be with somebody who's 1,000% dedicated to what we're doing.
Damn.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's because that's what you deserve, and that's what I deserve. We all deserve to be with somebody who is 1,000% into it.
Well, like with this guy, though, he's like, I'm not really prone to rough sex. And I was like, pull my hair. And he was like, that was hot when you asked, though. So I thought maybe you could get him there.
That's what people think. But in my experience, you can't change people. They just revert. So
you might be right.
So I like to get people
who are already there.
Why not?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, because usually the guys that are already there treat you like shit, in my experience. But you managed to find one who treats you like shit only in bed, like a prince in the street.
Oh, gosh. He's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next. Worst first date location. Oh, I say a movie is really bad because you can't talk. Bowling is bad.
Bowling's bad. Why?
Because you keep... There's a comic who does a joke about this, so I don't want to, like, steal his joke, but it is true that you keep, like, passing each other. You're never, like, sitting together talking. It's like one person bowls, the other person bowls.
That's kind of funny, yeah. Actually, right. That's really funny.
Right. So, I don't know. Those are probably mine. I don't know. What do you think?
My first dates... I don't know. I think sex is so important to me that I just hook up, and that's our first date.
You just fuck immediately.
Yeah, because I feel like, okay, like I said earlier, right? I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that spark. And you either have it or you don't. So I'm going to hook up with you and find if we have it. If we don't have it, I move on. If we have it, then I'll see you again. And then maybe in an outside setting. But you got to have the package first for me.
But it's different for guys because you can fucking not be emotionally attached in any capacity, which is harder for women.
I'm sorry, you guys, straight people.
I mean, I can do it with some guys somehow. I'm not sure. But even if I think I have no emotional connection to them whatsoever, like a couple times when I've had a booty call, there's just a hookup, I will still get just slightly butthurt if I feel like they're being a little short with me in text or something. Like, I feel like you deserve some level of respect just because I let you put your dick in me.
You're right.
Like some level of like emoji. Like, you have to send at least, like, a kissy face.
I agree. You know, I'm crazy. I mean, you know, these people now probably gather that I'm crazy. And
you're
so
not.
I handle things a little off-center. So
you're not crazy. You're emotional, which I love.
I'm pretty emotional.
Just like me. Have you ever had a first date where the guy had terrible breath? Oh, this is a good one. Okay. I have a theory on this. You tell me what you think. So I don't really go on first dates with guys that I'm not already kind of into. Like, I don't really go out with strangers much. And I never kiss guys unless I'm really, like, I can't not kiss them. Like, I never go in for a kiss before I'm dying to kiss them. So I have a theory that when you have intense physical chemistry with someone, that this is actually chemical, that it's like a scientific thing that happens where like my molecules and your molecules are like engaging somewhere in space and they like fit together. Like, I'm serious. Like, it's an energy thing. And I think when that happens, that person cannot smell bad to you when you're like really attracted to them. And the reason I say that is every guy I've ever had intense physical chemistry with to where I was dying to kiss them, when I've dated them, they never smell. Even if they don't shower, they go to the gym for days, they don't shower, we go hiking, we go camping. Their BO doesn't, I don't smell it the way I would with someone I'm not attracted to. It's weird. So I don't think that
I would like to point out that Kate pointed to me as she was saying, as I smell it as someone I'm not attracted to, she points to me.
No, that's not
which,
what
you know, I mean,
I was not pointing. I was talking with
I mean,
my
the
hands.
Feeling's mutual, but you know, I mean,
you know
but
what
it's
I'm
kind
saying?
Of funny.
But it's true. Like, I've never kissed a guy that I thought had bad breath, but I have been with guys before where we've dated for a while. When I start to be not attracted to them anymore, then things about them will kind of gross me out, but it's never like a smell or a breath thing.
Hmm.
What do you think? Have you made
I
out
sound
with...
like such a slut.
Well,
okay,
you fuck
well,
on the first date,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I do. And so sometimes when I kiss people, it's like, like the breath kind of is bad. And so I tell them, I don't like kissing because I know I'll never see them again. So I just get through it. so I can just bust my nut at that point. At that point, I'm so far in. I'm like, okay, I'll just bust my nut real quick. And I'll just tell them I don't kiss. And then I just get around it.
So if the breath is bad, it's a deal breaker, though.
Isn't that fun? For the future.
No, I mean, that's a very typical guy response. Like, any guy that kissed a girl that had bad breath would find a way to still fuck her if he could before he's done. Like, no one's...
Yeah, I'm just like every other straight guy except I'm gay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what do I say when a guy starts crying after sex? Oh, my God, that's so funny. I would be like, you're welcome.
Why is he crying?
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. What do I say? Why is he crying?
Why are you crying?
I would say, this was nice. Are you okay? I'm going to go make a cocktail. And then I would sneak out the back door. all right. I'm going to do just one more. We'll do two more. Would you date a guy with a micro penis? No.
I would.
A micro.
Micro penis. It's not about... I firmly believe this.
Micro. You know what micro. That looks like, right?
It's fine.
Size of my pinky.
This is why I would date the person. It depends on what they are. See? Because I think sex can be amazing.
But you're
a bottom. If you use your imagination, there's toys, there's role plays, there's all kinds of other things that play into it, which are more important than, I think, the size of your penis. And if you don't have that, then you can make up for it in other ways. I think that's more important. The attitude, like your imagination, your sexual chemistry, all of that's way more important.
I'm by no means a size queen. I'm okay with a medium, small, but micro. I don't know if I could.
I know. It's a lot, right?
Because I agree with everything you're saying. Like, I love to be touched. Like, if a guy, like, touches me with his hands.
What
like
if he's,
that-
like, so good with his hands and then he, like... brings out toys and he's really mean to you and he's like great in so many ways, but he just had a
okay.
tiny penis.
You know what? Maybe then.
And he treats you like a goddess.
Then maybe. You're right. Maybe if he could do everything else that I love in bed and then somehow like, you know, use a like a prosthetic.
He could. He could do a strap-on.
Strap-on.
You know?
Maybe. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm open to micro penis. Yeah. Micro penis, come at me. But the problem with dating a guy with a micro penis, I feel like they'd be really angry because the whole situation, like they already are mad. Like, they're going to be in a bad mood all the time.
Why?
Because they're sad about their micro penis. Am I being mean?
No, but they're going to be so happy. But you know what? Here's the thing. Most people would not date people with micro penises, right? So if you get a guy who treats you like gold and has all the sexual imagination with a micro penis, you know he's not going to go cheating. You know he's going to be dedicated to you for the rest of his life.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I should look for that. Maybe I should take out an ad on Craigslist seeking man
micro penis.
Micro penis.
He'd be so lucky to have... you know,
thank
a girl
you.
As hot as you, right? With a micro penis.
That's really sweet. All right. You know what? Maybe I'll look for that. I think I might be into that.
No one's perfect. I trade that in for, you know, other things, right? You know what I mean? Like, the size of the dick is not important to me.
I do agree with that 100%. I guess I thought micro. But you're right. If he can use toys and kind of other things, maybe you could get with it.
You gotta use your imagination.
I am using my imagination, but I'm just also thinking I really like to be on top, and like that would be tricky with a micro.
Use a strap on. There's bigger problems in relationships.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. This is the last one. This is the last one I'm gonna ask. What's the least creepy way to approach a woman? Well,
I don't know. You have to take it. I don't know.
The least creepy way to approach a woman if you're out in public, I've said this before, and me and Lindsay Paylos talked about this. I think the least creepy way is to kind of, if you see a woman you're interested in, I think it's okay. I mean, it depends on the setting, if it's a bar, a restaurant, whatever. I think it's okay to kind of come by and say like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I just saw you from over there. You're really beautiful. I don't know if you're single, but I'd love to get to know you, and kind of hand her your number and then walk away. And depending on the scenario, like if it is a bar, you can kind of then hang with your guys, whatever, on the other side of the bar for a little bit. And if she makes eye contact a few times, you can always swing by one more time before you leave and say goodbye. But don't linger. I hate when guys linger. There's nothing more awkward than when a guy comes up and makes a move and then he won't walk away. And then you don't know what to do because you don't want to be a bitch and be like, we're done here. But at the same time, like, if the guy does it with no pressure, it makes you think he's confident. That's my thinking. I also like when guys buy my coffee. Like if a guy is in line behind me at coffee and he pays, that's a big turn on for me. Stuff like that. I don't know. That's what I think. You have nothing on this.
I got nothing.
You have nothing on this topic. God damn it, Aiden. You know, you can still... what about... All right, fine. I guess there's nothing. I mean, how many... I was going to say, what about approaching a gay man? But it's just...
I do it all online.
Yeah, I know. I can't do that.
I know.
Oh, how many ex-boyfriends can she mention before it's okay to leave? That's hilarious.
How many ex... What?
Ex-boyfriends can she mention... before it's okay. That should have been my red flag, by the way, with the last guy, was that he kept on bringing up his ex. I should have known, like, he wasn't over it. But in a way that he was, like, still angry, but that means they're not over it.
Yeah. If he's angry, that's...
I never mention exes on dates unless the person's asking questions. Do you talk about your ex? Well, I mean, it's different because, like, it's not like an ex that you broke up with. It's like... an ex that passed away. But if you go on a date with a guy, do you talk about exes?
I talk about my ex if I get into a second or third meeting.
I love that you call them meetings. Jesus
or
Christ.
Or dating,
it's like
or whatever.
Like the guy I dated that called them meetups. I was like, fuck you. They're not meetups. They're dates. He's like, it's a meetup. I'm like, what, are we on an app? It's a fucking meetup group? There's no group here. All right, listen, I think that's enough. I feel spent emotionally. I'm glad I shared with you guys. I love you. I hope this episode wasn't depressing. I am definitely going to do some thinking on this overthinking podcast. And there might be a second podcast coming. But in the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening to Date Fails. I love you. I promise to put another one up in the next week. So it won't be another 2 or 3 week hiatus and everything will be fine. And please send me your date fail stories to datefailspod@gmail.com and check out my Patreon, patreon.com/KateQFunny, and follow my friend Aiden Park at Aiden Park Show, right?
Yep.
Yeah, on Twitter and Instagram. And
if you want advice, you can contact me there too.
Yeah, he does the best. He gives the best advice. So if you need life advice, you hit him up. All right. Love you guys. Bye.